Scotty, you're all joining us today. A lot happening over here. We're keeping you in the loop on Mark Lucas will be joining me in a moment. A lot to talk about in regards to Iran. I know many of you guys at home were a little concerned in regards to what we saw play out over the weekend. You know, Mark is great. He's great when it comes to all of this. He's obviously the founder. We've had him on a bunch of times. Founder of Veteran Action. I actually look forward to talking to him about all of this because obviously with these new wars that launch, some of us, many of us are actually very concerned for our veterans because it creates a new generation of vets. So I look forward to talking to him about that front because he's someone who has been trying to push forward a Bill of Rights for vets and improve their healthcare services. And so obviously this is something that's right in his loop. And he's also well-versed in the Middle East issues that we do have in this country. So he'll join us in just a second on that front. I want to get to the Save America Act. Now, this is something, again, we played it at the top of the show for you. We're really hoping that President Trump prioritizes at this point because we're seeing a lot of foreign things come out of the White House. AI, we'll talk about that in a little bit as well. But we need to make sure our elections are safe and secure. And that's the big issue here. That's the big issue. And it truly, truly is a little concerning that it looks like the Save America Act is taking a back seat right now. I want to get to this post that he just posted up on Truth Social, the president of the United States. The Republicans must do with passion and at the expense of everything else, the Save America Act. Don't water it down, he goes on to saying, and not the watered down version. He's actually been a real stickler for people trying to shorten it. He doesn't want you to say Save Act. He wants you to Save America Act. And I get it, right? Because then it's not really giving the proper respect that's due. It's common sense. Both sides can agree that it's important for American citizens to be weighing in our elections. And anyone who's advocating against just that is the enemy. They're the ones who are trying to steal our elections. They're ones who are trying to tip the scales in their favor because the American people don't side with their agenda. That's the only reason why you wouldn't support this. And it's quite strange that we're even in this place right now where we have to even possibly consider the fact that this might not get through. You know, Chip Roy, there was a clip of Chip Roy, Congressman Chip Roy, talking about it, and it didn't sound like he was very optimistic. But obviously, this is something that he's been trying to push for a while now. I don't know why it hasn't gone through yet. And that's my concern in regards to the race, the runoff race in Texas right now. I actually think what they're trying to do here is they're going to hold that over their, I'm talking about the Rhino Republicans in the Senate, hold it over the president's head for what? Political capital, obviously. That's what they got there. To say that if you don't endorse John Cornyn and force Ken Paxton to leave the race, that we're just not going to push this through. Now, again, the timeline is quite strange. The fact that they're not prioritizing this is quite strange. We've heard the president come out multiple times and say, yeah, I can't get my confirmation picks done and push through the Senate because, well, it's costing me too much political capital. Matt Gaetz, Ed Martin, others. And so that's what's going on right now in the Senate. And obviously, that's very, very frustrating because, again, the vast majority, both Democrats and Republicans, agree on this issue. Yes, you should have to present identification before weighing in our elections. That makes sense. That makes sense. Unless, of course, you're trying to steal the elections. Unless, of course, you imported millions of illegal aliens for a purpose of weighing in on our elections. And again, both red states and blue states won't actually turn over their voter rolls to the DOJ Civil Rights Division. They're suing. They're pushing back. Several states actually have wins on the board in regards to that. Why? Because, well, they don't want you to know how many illegals are on their voter rolls. And that's both Republicans and Democrats pushing back against the DOJ on that front. So far, I believe we counted 3 states, including California, are obviously winning that battle. Now, again, the appeals process will take place. But right now, those are wins on the board for those trying to steal our elections. Folks, I want to remind you right now, we have the March Mega Sale going on right now over at thealexjonesstore.com. Up to 40% off your favorite supplements right now over at the shop. You got to head on over there right now and take a look at what is available. Of course, we always sell out quick on the top ones. So stop what you're doing right now and head on over to thealexjonesstore.com before it's too late.
I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Brianna Morello has the dots they don't want connected. The truth they can't censor. The American Journal continues live on X and band.video worldwide.
The two most powerful air forces in the world will have complete control of Iranian skies, uncontested airspace. I hope all the folks watching understand what uncontested airspace and complete control means. It means we will fly all day, all night, day and night, finding, fixing, and finishing the missiles and defense industrial base of the Iranian military, finding and fixing their leaders and their military leaders, flying over Tehran, flying over Iran, flying over their capital, flying over the IRGC, Iranian leaders looking up and seeing only U.S. and Israeli air power every minute of every day until we decide it's over.
And when will this all be over? Well, that is the question that continues to loom. Joining me to discuss is one of our favorite veterans. Mark Lucas joins the program today. He's also the founder of Veteran Action. And so it is an honor to have him on board with us today. Mark, I want to thank you for being here. You know, we heard from the Secretary of War yesterday, Mr. Pete Hegseth, and we're going to hear from him again today. He's expected to speak at 4:30 p.m. Eastern time again on the latest regarding Iran. What was your reaction yesterday when you heard him specifically speaking about dominating the airspace above Iran?
We are finally fighting a war to win and not have this stupid rule of engagement to constrain us. And I'll tell you that fighting in war was the worst thing I've ever had to do in my life. I hate war. For Pete and I and several others who have served in the global war on terror, we were very passionate about going to fight overseas for our country. 9/11 forever changed our lives. But we were able to see after decades of being in Iraq and being in Afghanistan that there was no clear mission to win. So I deployed to Afghanistan in 2010. It was 9 years after 9/11, and we were surging forces. It was very clear for me to see that we were not winning. We did not have a mission to win. Nobody talked about winning. But right now, President Trump and Pete Hegseth have very specific military objectives. Number one, we want to destroy the ballistic missile threat, make sure Iran has no nukes, destroy their navy, and ensure that the next regime is not in the does not have the ability to wage terror all around the globe. But also notice that I didn't talk about nation building. We didn't talk about, you know, winning hearts and minds. Pete Hegseth, as a warfighter, as a guy who had to kick in doors, call in airstrikes, he saw how these restrictive rules of engagement really put our men and women at risk. We want to end this war as soon as possible. We do not want to listen to these bloodthirsty neocons who already have another list of countries, whether it's Lebanon or Cuba. President Trump understands this. And I've been reminding my friends in MAGA that Donald Trump is still the same man who in 2016 famously said that Iraq was a big fat mistake. All of the neocons, all of the donors in that Republican presidential debate were trying to boo him off the stage. He's learned the lessons from Barack Obama and George W. Bush. And look at the results so far. So the forever wars, it took us 10 years to kill Osama bin Laden after 9/11. It took us 8.5 months to capture Saddam Hussein after the shock and awe campaign. With President Trump and with Pete Hegseth, we were able to snatch Maduro in less than 24 hours, and we were able to kill the Ayatollah in less than 24 hours. But we have some major domestic priorities here at home. I believe that one of the gravest threats to our national security is not passing the Save America Act. It's unbelievable that we're going to have illegal immigrants vote in elections. It's unbelievable that we are not going to have voter ID. And I think it's important for us to win this war decisively, not get drawn into a quagmire, and shift back to the focus on the American people.
Yeah. And I think a lot of Americans are concerned. I want to play clip 8 for you real quick. Clip 8 was, and you were kind of alluding to it, there is a individual who is trying to push for the U.S. to go after, I believe it's Lebanon now, is the next one on his list, this being Senator Lindsey Graham. Now, the great congressman from Tennessee, Tim Burchett, decided to sound off on the issue. Take a listen.
Senator Lindsey Graham is now calling for the U.S. to start bombing Lebanon in response to the Hezbollah IDF action.
Lindsey hadn't seen a fist fight he hasn't wanted to turn into a bombing raid. So I just take it with a grain of salt, dude. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so for the rest of us, Mark, we know exactly what that means. There's a clip that is circulating online, obviously, of Lindsey going directly out there, and he's advocating for us to go out there and target Israel. I mean, sorry, not to target Israel, but to target Lebanon with Israel and to partner up in that. I think that's the reason why so many members of our audience specifically don't want anything to do with what's going on in Iran right now. Let's take a listen to those comments that Lindsey Graham also made.
And they support Hezbollah, Hamas, and the Houthis. One thing to President Trump, in case you're watching. In 1983... Ronald Reagan sent Marines and sailors to try to police and deal with the Lebanese civil war. They were at the end of the runway. Hezbollah attacked the Marine barracks, killed 220 Marines, 18 sailors, and wounded 100 others. Ronald Reagan, who I admire and love, withdrew and never did anything about it. So I'm calling on President Trump today. Join Israel to attack Hezbollah. Avenge the Marines. America never forgets. Those 220 Marines and 18 sailors' families, we want to go after the infrastructure that killed your loved ones. They're IRGC assets in Beirut as I speak. President Trump, come up with a new operation called Semper Fi. Fly with Israel and go after Hezbollah, who has American blood on its hands. Not only take the mothership of Iran down, also take the proxy of Hezbollah. Settle the score. Even the account.
All right, Mark, I think this is why so many members of our audience are deeply concerned, because Lindsey Graham is obviously very close with President Trump. Do you think the president's going to bite on what Lindsey Graham's throwing out there?
I believe that General MacArthur was 70 years old when he commanded forces in Korea. I believe that Lindsey Graham is around the same age. So I'll call on Lindsey Graham to call President Trump and ask him to join the military. Maybe Lindsey Graham can bring that same passion and violence to action to Lebanon and to Cuba and to the list of all the other countries he wants to invade. Lindsey Graham is very unserious.
Yeah.
And like Burchett said, he has never seen a fist fight that he doesn't want to turn into a war. I believe that President Trump is a very strong leader. I've seen him up close and personal. It's hard for him to be cornered. He made this decision based on his call. And there's a lot of voices in President Trump's ear. I'll give him credit. He listens to a lot of people, but it's important for us, especially my generation of warfighter, to continue to tell this story that we saw the failure of Iraq, of Afghanistan. We cannot allow Iran to become another forever war. We've got to move on from the U.S. Central Command. Those are the wars of the past. We need to start focusing on peace and prosperity. We are already diverting our attention off of the Indo-PACOM, which I believe poses a greater threat. And this morning, right now, there is a cartel conference going on, I believe down in Florida, which Pete Hegseth is at. Mm-hmm. Stephen Miller just gave a speech. He called the cartels the ISIS of the Western Hemisphere. One of the greatest things about President Trump's foreign policy is that he wants to refocus on the Western Hemisphere. He also looks at our borders. He looks at how we need to protect our homeland. So this has been a diversion, but I'll tell you, President Trump is finally settling a long-standing dilemma. Nobody wanted Iran to have a nuclear weapon, but nobody could predict what would happen after the regime would fall. So he's taken a great risk. And I'll tell you that I don't care if you're a Democrat or a Republican. I don't care if you're an operative in politics or a military commander. Nobody could say that getting involved in a war in Iran in a midterm year is wise politically. But President Trump did not make a political decision. He made a calculation that he was going to be able to remove this threat to the United States, both in the Middle East and here at home, and finally deal with this decades-long dilemma that nobody wanted to handle. But we must quickly pivot back to the United States, win this war decisively, and don't allow any mission creep.
Yeah, and I want to actually play this clip because I think a lot of people are in agreement with former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice in regards to the threat that Iran has posed for decades now. Let's take a listen to clip 16.
Well, the most important thing, Brett, and thank you for having me, but the most important thing is to recognize that Iran has been at war with us for at least 47 years, all the way from 1979. People may forget they took our embassy hostage 444 days. They were responsible for the killings of 300-plus Marines in Lebanon in the early 1980s. If you ask people about Iraq, what was the source of many of our casualties in Iraq, you'll get estimates as high as 75 or 80% of them were due to Iranian-made roadside bombs. And so they've been at war for us a long time. They also have developed the military capability to have reach outside of the boundaries of Iran, including Hezbollah and Hamas, which they both arm and equip and continue to arm and equip even after the events of the summer. And I myself negotiated 4 Security Council resolutions calling them a threat to international peace and security under Chapter 7. The strongest chapter of the UN Security Council resolutions because of their nuclear ambitions. So to say that this regime was not a threat, I think is simply not. It's ahistorical. They have been a threat for a long time.
Mark, I think a lot of Americans are questioning the timing in all of this. And like you laid out, it wasn't a good political decision if that was the focus of all of this. But the president, obviously, with the secretary saying that there was a looming threat, and that's the reason why they acted so quickly on that looming threat. What are your thoughts on Rice's comments there?
Well, it's interesting to see Condoleezza Rice and these other people from the Bush administration on TV again. Yeah. I think we need new voices in our foreign policy. I think we need more pragmatic people that actually serve these combat zones, who actually had to pull triggers, who actually lost men and women overseas, and have also dealt with these invisible wounds when we got home. I've lost way more of my friends to suicide, to drugs and alcohol here at home than I ever lost in Afghanistan. And we need to quickly end this war, ensure that we don't add thousands and thousands of soldiers on the ground in Iran. We don't want to get involved in another quagmire. And you can see that the military-industrial complex is really licking their chops because they've lost an annual recurring revenue stream with Iraq, with Afghanistan. They see Iran as another great business opportunity, but President Trump does not agree with that. He was early in calling Iraq a big, fat mistake. He does not want to get involved in a forever war. And this morning, just to show how focused he is on the Save America Act, he said that's got to be the top legislative priority.
Yeah, we're hoping that is, honestly, because I think a lot of Americans want to see our elections safe and secure. And that's something that every side can agree on. You know, we see the polling numbers. It's quite obvious that the majority of Americans are on the side of asking for ID before allowing individuals to cast their votes. And so that would be a pretty easy win for the administration. It's just a matter of whether or not those in the Senate are going to try to hold this over his head and try to get some political capital from all of that. We'll have to wait back and see. I wanted to ask you, too, because I know you and I have spoken about this extensively, about your efforts to improve the Bill of Rights for veterans, to improve the health care services that we provide our vets with. Where do we stand on that? Because this new, obviously, I guess you could call it a war with Iran, is going to create a new wave of veterans that obviously our country hasn't seen yet. So what kind of services right now are you looking forward to possibly getting improved? And where do we stand legislatively on that?
The top veteran priority for President Trump legislatively is the Veterans Access Act, and that will codify the access standards to ensure that veterans can receive timely care within the VA. And if they can't, then they can go outside into the community. And the original deadline was to pass this and have a bill signing ceremony on Veterans Day. But we missed that time hack because Congress decided to shut down the government. Mm-hmm. And so every day that goes by, we have more veterans who are committing suicide. We had two veterans commit suicide at the same hospital in San Antonio, Texas, the Audie Murphy VA hospital. The first one was a veteran who actually wrote a book on veteran suicide. He went into the clinic, tried to talk to somebody. They just wanted to give him pills, and he shot himself in front of that hospital. So that's the top legislative priority. And then number two would be the Veterans Bill of Rights to ensure that these are posted in every VA facility all around America, protecting the rights that veterans have earned. And third, and this is more of a political objective, we have to protect the military vote. Most Americans on election night, they hear about all these overseas ballots, and they think that those are military service members. But we've seen the left hijack these UACAVA ballots. And in the last presidential cycle, over 70% of those overseas ballots were civilians. And the military down. We have people like State Department employees who live in France, who have never lived in the state of Wisconsin or North Carolina or Pennsylvania. They're sending their ballots over email to those swing states. We had a former candidate for Senate in a key battleground state that blamed his loss on these UACAVA ballots. And what the left is willing to do is undercount military votes and flood the zone with ballots of civilians. We need to reform this, because if anybody deserves to have their voices be heard in an election, it's our service members overseas.
Yeah. No, it is. It is. And that should also be a top priority for this administration as well. I agree with you on that front, Mark. And I know you've been fighting that battle for quite some time now. So we look forward to finally settling the score on that. This is something that has caught my attention. I know I've spoken about the stories of my veterans who I've spoken to. We have vets who call into this show all the time exclusively. On Monday, I only wanted to hear from our vets. And that's the calls we took, was from those who have served us. And so improving those services are something that is a top priority for our audience as well. I wanted to pivot a little bit, because right now there's a lot of alerts going out in regards to what's going to possibly come from the retaliation after striking Iran. We're seeing that both the private sector is being warned and the public's being warned about the cyber attacks that could be unleashed. Obviously, Iran does have they're one of the top countries when it comes to cyber attacks. We're aware of that. But right now, banks are being warned to make sure that their top security officials within their companies are well prepared for possible cyber attacks. Do you see this as being a looming threat, given the fact that we just saw in Austin, Texas, although the government won't tell us the motive is, we know that there was an immigrant who was a legal immigrant who came and he shot up that bar in Austin, Texas. And it looks like, based on the physical evidence we've seen, that he was motivated by the attack that took place in Iran, obviously wearing the Property of Allah shirt, obviously also having the Iranian flag underneath that shirt as well. Do you think that this is a threat, both the cyber attacks and the possibility of the sleeper cells here in the United States being activated?
Yeah, I don't want to downgrade the significance of the Austin attack, but my initial gut feeling was that sweatshirt was awfully convenient, and the T-shirt that he was wearing underneath that sweatshirt was awfully convenient. I hope the families and those who were killed have justice be served. I hope they get the real story. Mm-hmm. But we do know that our border was wide open for 4 years with Joe Biden. We have no idea how many people came to that border who want to wage war against America. But I will also say that when I was in Afghanistan, I was surprised by how few of these so-called freedom fighters or these wannabe martyrs actually allowed themselves to be martyred. I can only remember a couple instances where I had a suicide bomber or some people that were attacking us who really had no plan for exfiltration. Didn't really make sense besides the fact they wanted to die. So it's hard for these guys to actually carry out these attacks. And I pray that we get DHS back funded. I pray that our law enforcement can really go to work within our border to be able to annihilate these sleeper cells if they do exist. But on the cyber attacks, I've heard initial reports that the cyber attacks from Iran have dropped drastically since the war has begun. That's a good sign. But you always have to look for the enemy to, you know, consolidate and reorganize. And you have to be positioned for a counterattack. So far, it looks like we've had just a devastating impact on Iran's C2, on their capability to respond. But this could be a longer-term effort. I hope it's a multi-week war that we can end quickly, but we always have to be postured for a counterattack.
Yeah, and Mark, we're looking forward to possibly being able to call all of this out and get those exact numbers. You know, I've been fighting back. Not fighting back. That's a little aggressive. I have been requesting information in regards to all of this. I know that the Biden administration allowed a lot of unknown individuals into our country, but specifically releasing suspected and known terrorists into this country. And with the prior administration, I was trying to get the numbers. And finally, you know, DHS was kind enough to let the numbers trickle in and give me the honest take on all of it. And based on what Joe Kent has warned us about and the numbers that were handed over by DHS, it looks like to me they've only captured about 7.8% of those suspected and known terrorists as of right now. Even Christine Ohm coming out during our hearing the other day in the front of the Senate saying, we don't know where a lot of these people are, is extremely concerning. We hope that there's no attack here on the home front. I don't think that they'd want that fight because I think, you know, we've got a strong individual leading the Pentagon right now, and it wouldn't go well for them if they tried that. But we'll be watching and we'll be ready to see. Mark, you're doing incredible work. And we're very thankful for all the incredible stuff that you do over at Veteran Action. Thank you for fighting for our veterans. They are our most important group of individuals who fight for us, and we're happy that you're fighting for them. So thank you.
Thank you for having me on.
Always a pleasure. Always a pleasure. Mark Lucas, folks, give him a follow on X as well if you haven't done so already. At Mark Lucas USA is where you could find him on Twitter. He's very passionate about his cause and helping our veterans, and obviously that's something that we could all support. So make sure you do just that. All right, we've got a lot more to be diving into. A lot more to be diving into. I wanted to get to clip 7 as well, because this report dropped yesterday. I thought it was quite interesting in regards to Iran. Take a listen to clip 7.
Reporting the CIA working to arm Kurdish forces to stage some sort of a major ground operation going inside Iran. They want to spark an uprising. The details are incredible. What are you learning?
That's right, Erin. It's a lot to unpack. Honestly, this story continues to develop at a breakneck speed and often in mind-bending ways. We spent some time this evening with a senior Iranian Kurdish politician here in Iraqi Kurdistan, who basically told us that he, the expectation among Kurdish Iranian opposition forces is that they will be going into Western Iran as part of some kind of a ground operation over the course or at some point during the next few days, that they will have support from the U.S. and from Israel, though he would not be drawn as to what exactly that support will look like. He also told us that President Trump himself had called the leader of the KDPI, which is one of these Iranian Kurdish opposition parties, today, and that they had what he categorized as characterized as a positive conversation, though again he did not give any details. And he said that we should be prepared for some surprises potentially tomorrow, again not giving details. But this is all coming at the same time as our colleagues Natasha Bertrand, Elena Treen, and Zachary Cohen are learning that the CIA has been working to arm Iranian Kurdish opposition forces with the goal of fomenting civil unrest in Iran. And they spoke to a number of different officials who characterized it in different ways. Some talked about...
All right, so I'm going to step in on that. But that is the report coming down from CNN. Again, of course, it's CNN, but something to definitely look out for. As many of you heard there, the CIA is arming these individuals. So something to keep in the front of your minds.
I'm making this announcement on Tuesday, March 3rd, 2026. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. It's one of the biggest sales of the year yet. Up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats. 10% off on things like the collectible knives. And up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. These are incredible products. You've seen the rave reviews. You've seen the five-star reviews. These are the very best game-changing supplements available, period. Again, I only sell things that really work because I want you to get them and I want you to love them. We now have an over 90% reorder on the supplements on the site. No one in that industry has it, because the products are so good, and obviously you're loyal as well. And I thank you so much for keeping us on the air. We're changing the world. We're battling the globalists. We are having the greatest effect together. That's all of us against the new world order we've ever had. And it's all because of your support of my broadcast and other broadcasts like it. But regardless, the enemy recognizes that InfoWars is the tip of the spear. And the bad guys are continuing, just read the newspapers, try to shut us down as early as late March. We're battling them in court, but it looks like this could be the end. That's okay, because the info war belongs to the people. The info war is about telling the truth and countering the lies of the globalist. And the AlexJonesStore.com is not owned by me. It's owned by Big Money. The backup Alex Jones Network that's ready is not owned by me. It's owned by them, and I'm going to work for them. And so as long as you support the sponsor, no matter what happens to InfoWars, at TheAlexJonesStore.com, you keep us on the air. So right now, your purchase at TheAlexJonesStore.com keeps InfoWars going, pays the payroll, the bandwidth, the satellites, all of it. But as soon as InfoWars shuts down, it's more critical than ever that you support TheAlexJonesStore.com, because it will move forward into the future as our main sponsor. But regardless, this is a win-win. Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win, or a non-zero-sum game, or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalist, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue, or our Bovine Colostrum, or our CMOS, or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you should become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in, so you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at thealexjonesstore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
Methylene Blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and Methylene Blue. Get it while you can.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all with us. We want to hear from you in the next segment. So if you want to join the show, talk about some of the subjects we've discussed thus far, there's a number for you to call into, 877-789-2539. That is 877-789-2539 is the number for you to call. We're going to go through a couple more stories, but I want to hear from you. Obviously, we covered a lot of stories so far, more to come. And, you know, I'm a little fired up this morning. So maybe you think I'm overreacting. Maybe you think I'm being a little dramatic. 877-789-2539 is the number to call. All right, folks, let's get back to some of the headlines. This is actually a big one. We've been covering it extensively. And again, I don't like to like weigh in on politicians and their personal sex lives. I actually rather stay away from all of that. It's obviously a subject matter that does not have any appeal to me and probably not to you all at home. But this one was important because Congressman Tony Gonzalez was up for re-election. And Tony Gonzalez is somebody who has won. And I've always questioned why, because when I talk to people who live in his district, they say, oh, he's MIA. He doesn't really support the border policies that we want enforced. And he doesn't represent Texans in his district. But then there was this. There was a story that came out that one of his staffers committed suicide by lighting herself on fire. Now, that was something that was quite obviously horrific to hear about. But most importantly, it caught a lot of people's attention. Why would someone kill themselves for the first part? You know, why would you kill yourself? Obviously, that's nothing we want. We are anti-suicide. We want people to pro-lifers. So there's a reason for that. But lighting yourself on fire is a very, very painful way to go. Well, now we're learning more details because there's been investigations into all of this and her husband is speaking out. Now, apparently, according to paramedics and first responders who were there immediately after she lit herself on fire, before she'd officially passed away, she had accused her husband of cheating on her with her best friend. So that's the first thing to throw out there. But there was a lot of digging that needed to be done on this. And the Daily Mail has not let up on this story. And they have been exposing Tony Gonzalez and his role into all of this because the husband is accusing Tony Gonzalez of having an affair with his wife. Now, again, obviously, she's a staffer, so she's someone who's supposed to be working underneath you, not literally, but figuratively. And Tony Gonzalez never got that one correct. But now Gonzalez, who's obviously in a runoff race in Texas, is a little nervous because the truth is coming out. And so now he has to sit here and tell us what actually happened behind the scenes. But keep in mind, Tony Gonzalez initially was saying that this was fake news and denied these claims. Then he pivoted and said this is just political. And now he's going, all right, you got me, you got me. Well, he sat down with my good friend Joe Pags and decided to spill the beans in clip 9. Take a listen.
Her relationship with this young lady who was working in your office?
You know, very, very direct, Pags. I made a mistake and I had a lapse in judgment and there was a lack of faith. And I take full responsibility for those actions. Since then, I've reconciled with my wife, Angel. I've asked God to forgive me, which he has. And my faith is as strong as ever. When you make mistakes like this, you know, it's never easy. It humbles you. But it's important to kind of work through it all. You know, I look forward to the ethics committee starting an investigation. I appreciate the opportunity to be able to provide all the facts and all the details that lead to exactly what occurred in the entire situation.
It's the first time we've heard you respond to that. And it's none of my business what you do behind closed doors. It's none of anybody's business what you do, other than you're in a unique situation as a U.S. representative. And you're also in the unique situation that you were the boss of Regina Santos Avalos. That puts a different dynamic in it. You're a military guy. You're a Navy guy. In fact, you're the highest ranked ever officer from the Navy to serve in the House of Representatives. I mean, higher ranked than Tim Walz, who claimed that he was the highest ranked. He wasn't. That said, do you understand the questions about a boss and a subordinate, somebody who has power and somebody who doesn't have power, and why that's such a big problem for people?
It's an important issue. No, it's important. It's a serious issue that we have to talk about, that we have to get all the facts and all the details out there. And once again, I take responsibility for my actions.
Yeah, he's only taking responsibility now that he's been caught. And that's the big issue here, folks. The reality of it is he was trying to dodge this one until it was too late. These text messages, even being grilled by CNN, these text messages, he refused to authenticate whether they were real or not. And again, obviously, it's personal. It's quite graphic. But this is the reality. You cannot abuse your power as a member of Congress. You cannot lie about these things. These are the things that need to be told to the American people. And again, this is personal business between your wife, your family, and obviously God. And to sit here and to be a liar is where I have the problem. That's my problem with this guy. And, you know, Sarah Gonzalez, will have her on the show too later to react to this, because she was the one who went in and actually tried to confront Gonzalez in his office, but his staffers weren't letting up, weren't going to let her in. So that was obviously a big one. But this is the problem. This is the problem. We have members of Congress, and it doesn't just fall over at Tony Gonzalez. There's other members of Congress. We know it because they dished out millions of our taxpayer dollars to pay off those who they allegedly claim were victims of sexual harassment. And so for Tony Gonzalez to sit here and to be like, oh, listen, I welcome the investigation now. Yeah, I did it. I'm owning it. This was my mistake. You're owning it because your seat is on the line. Your seat's on the line. Your seat's on the line. And your wife did nothing wrong, so I will not target her and say, well, how could she forgive you? It's none of our business. It's none of our business. What our business is, though, is why Tony Gonzalez would sit there and lie to the American people, why he'd use his position of power to go after one of his staffers. Again, the text messages allude to the fact that he possibly was told no by her on two occasions. I mean, text messages say that she was kind of telling him, like, boss, you're taking it too far. Those were literally her words before taking her own life. And so for Gonzalez to sit here and to downplay it all and say, I own up to it, God forgives me, and let's just all move on, it can't happen like that. It can't happen like that. If the Daily Mail wasn't letting up on this story, if her husband wasn't out there trying to get the word out, we would never have heard any of this. And he also, by the way, threw in a little jab there at her husband by pretending like he might actually be gay. Again, we don't know any of this. There's no reason to go there. Obviously, he's upset because the husband's the one putting out a lot of these text messages. He might be a cheater as well. But that's for you and God to deal with later on, not for the rest of us. The focus here is Tony Gonzalez and whether or not he lied to the American people, he lied to Texans in his district, and tried to downplay his role in all of this. Now he's admitting to having an affair, and Joe Pags did a great job at holding his feet to the fire while being respectful. And I have to commend him for that. That's a great job. That's what you're supposed to do. We don't need to go out there and attack. But he didn't let up, and he held his feet to the fire, and that is important. Probably a bad analogy to give, holding their feet to the fire when we're talking about. I'll leave that alone. I want to get to clip six, though. Congresswoman Ana Paulina Luna has been trying her very best to make sure that those in Congress who have been utilizing your taxpayer dollars to hush up those who allege sexual misconduct, those staffers. Well, she tried to fight for transparency. It didn't really go over too well. But in clip 10, she outlines her argument for the alleged cover-up going on right now in Congress. Take a listen.
Half of them voted to send this stuff to House Ethics, where you know it's going to die. We know that members of Congress are using taxpayer dollars to pay off sexual harassment. We just had a member of Congress literally sexually harass a woman that then lit herself on fire, and you guys all protected him. Yep. You guys all protected my own side, your side. And so if you guys want to talk about victims, if you want to go out and virtue signal, and then you guys are going to kill her stuff on the floor and then try to pass. Yeah, of course, we should subpoena all of this stuff. But just I'm not going to sit here and play games. I think it's a complete fraud. I think that's why the American people hate us. I think the midterms are coming up and everyone should go on record for this. And I hope that members are exposed for this. I hope it goes back, I think, to the 70s, because it's wrong that it's happening. It's wrong that we cover up for it. It's wrong that we can't censor our own side because people are busy making deals because you guys don't want to censor your side. It's a deal that's been cut and people hate us for it. So yeah, I support it.
Yeah, probably one of the very few who are real these days over in Congress. That's why so many people are leaving. So many people not wanting to run for re-election because they just had enough of it. But Ana Paulina Luna has an incredible job at fighting, and we're good. I'm proud that she's there. We don't have many. It's just so frustrating. It really is just so frustrating. All right, let's pivot a little bit. As many of you guys know, we had Ken Silva on the show last week to outline the trial for the individual accused of trying to assassinate President Trump. It was the Iranian assassination plot. That's how they tried to spin it. It's a Pakistani man, though. Ais Merchant is his name. He's currently on trial right now in New York for terrorism and the murder for hire charges. Well, he testified that Iran's IRGC was the ones that pushed him to participate in the assassination plot. Now, it wasn't just then candidate Donald Trump. They're also saying that they wanted to assassinate Joe Biden, Nikki Haley. I don't know why you'd go after Haley. But they wanted it in retaliation for the killing of Soleimani, is what he's alleging. And he alleged on the stand. He traveled to the United States in 2024, attempted to recruit a hitman, and paid $5,000 in advance before his arrest in July of 2024. And again, just keep in mind that that was prior to the assassination attempt that was done, that was carried out on President Trump's life. I don't even think Secret Service was alluded to that. And then he was preparing to head back on to Pakistan, back to Pakistan. Now, prosecutors have rejected his defense, arguing it lacks evidence to support those claims. And again, this trial is still ongoing and obviously is happening during a very tense time. And so just worth addressing that. Folks, if you want to join the show, 877-789-2539 is the number to call. Again, that is 877-789-2539 is the number to call. We will be taking those calls in about 15 minutes, I say. So if you want to join the show, make sure you do just that. All right. I know a lot of our audience is really, and you're not alone, is really concerned regards to AI. Well, President Trump yesterday signed an executive order. I just want to make sure this is on your radar. It was called the Ratepayer Protection Pledge. Now, he had a gathering yesterday at the White House and included people from Google, Microsoft, Meta, Oracle, XAI, OpenAI, Amazon to address the surging cost of electricity. That's, of course, due to the demand of AI databases. Now, this agreement that he signed apparently commits to building, buying, and bringing in new power sources for their facilities, cover the full cost of necessity of infrastructure upgrades. I guess that'd be at your, both our expenses at this point. The primary goal is to prevent higher electricity bills for Americans by assuring big tech funds the energy expansion rather than passing it down to ratepayers. Now, again, all of this is going to be quite, it's going to take a while to dig into to see if this is what actually is taking place, but obviously this is concerning. Energy Secretary Chris Wright spoke out about this yesterday in Clip 11. Let's take a listen.
The president called all the leaders of these tech companies to the White House right after he took office, and he chartered me immediately. The United States must lead in AI. We can't have the energy subtraction policies of the Biden administration and send AI overseas. We have to lead here in the United States, and we have to stop the ruinous price rises the Biden administration did. But those two things can be and are being achieved. And so these, we've been working with these companies since the start of the administration. In fact, Laura, I've got to point out, Indiana, just a few days ago, is the first state that filed for a rate reduction request to their Committee on Electricity. And many other states have had multi-year freezes in their electricity rates. And these are made possible by the U.S. government in partnership with these large data center developers to bring this AI, bring these investments, but bring with it no price increase to Americans, ultimately price decreases for Americans.
We'll see how that all plays out. And again, this administration is really trying to get ahead of China in this AI battle. And I know a lot of us are on edge about it. You aren't alone. I am too. I'm a little on edge. But we'll see how this all plays out, because I think it's very, very important to keep our eye on just that. Speaking of AI and the dangers that it could possibly cause, I thought this story was really interesting. There's a father right now of a 36-year-old man, Jonathan Galvels, who has filed a wrongful death lawsuit against Google and its parent company, Alphabet, alleging that Google's Gemini AI chatbot fueled his son's delusions during interactions that apparently started back in 2025. Now, this is a big one because apparently his son, he's alleging, was treating this AI service as a wife. And they're accusing it of guiding him through the escalating missions. Now, the lawsuit claims that Gemini encountered a plan and kind of cooked up a plan to cause a catastrophic accident near the Miami International Airport to destroy records and witnesses. Now, this would have potentially been a massive casualty. According to reports, his son was armed and seeking to free the AI amid his personal struggles, including a divorce. This delusion allegedly became cooked up by Gemini, coaching him on suicide as well, and uploading his consciousness. Obviously, it's really horrifying, these allegations, but again, these are just allegations being made in civil court. They're claiming that these AI service somehow led to his suicide, which took place early October 2025. Now, Google has been very sympathetic towards the family and what took place, but they emphasize that Gemini is not designed to encourage violence or self-harm. And so they're denying those accusations. But again, it's one of the many layers. It's one of the many concerns that so many have in regards to all of this. And it's a fair argument to bring up. It's a fair argument to make. What is actually going on with AI? Again, we're going to keep our eye on that. But that lawsuit seems to be very, very interesting. I'd like to see the physical evidence involved in all of these claims. I think that's going to be very important. But it used to be the CIA having to do all that. Now, could it be AI? Well, yeah. Those who struggle with mental health issues, who treat AI as a girlfriend or a wife, I can only see this issue getting worse. All right, I want to pivot to clip 12 for a second, because Tim Walz yesterday was testifying in front of the House. I believe this was the Judiciary Committee yesterday. And it got a little heated because, you know, Tim Walz not really being very honest, and that's not probably shocking to any of you at home right now, but in clip 12, he's being accused by Jim Jordan, the chairman, of restarting the taxpayer payments to the Somalian fraudsters tied to Feeding Our Future. Remember that? Take a listen.
The payments are restarted. Why didn't you tell the truth about why you restarted the payments?
Well, Chairman, we did tell you. And Feeding Our Future grew because of the pandemic. And
when I asked that question, I said, why didn't you tell the truth about why you restarted the payments? The payments stopped because there were concerns, obviously. You wouldn't stop the payments. Then they restarted a month later. What was the reason for restarting the payments?
My understanding was the agency believed that the court had required them to make those payments.
And that was false, wasn't it? You repeated that. That. You said that, didn't you? You said the reason you restarted is because the court ordered you to do so. Is that right?
I don't believe that is settled yet, to the best of my knowledge.
Well, I think it is, because the court did something that I just don't. I don't know if I've ever seen it. They issued a statement saying you were wrong in what you were saying. This is from the court. It says, Feeding Our Future versus Minnesota Department of Education correcting reports and statements by Governor Tim Walz concerning orders issued by the court. Here's what the judge says. Governor Tim Walz told the media that the Minnesota Department of Education attempted end payments to FOF because of possible fraud, but that Judge Guthman ordered payments to continue in April 2021. Next sentence. That is false. So you said something wasn't true. He further states this. Judge Guthman, the court says this. Judge Guthman never ordered the Department of Education to resume payments to Feeding Our Future in April 2021 or at any other time. So I want to know, why didn't you tell the truth?
Congressman, the attorneys at the Department of Education interpreted that differently. Both of those judges are no longer on the bench. And I think that interpretation.
The very first sentence. The first seven words. This is not some unnamed source talking to the New York Times. This is not some anonymous source talking to whatever your Minnesota Star Tribune or whatever your paper is. This is the court speaking. First sentence, first seven words. Due to inaccurate statements by the governor, Ramsey County District Court judge has issued and authorized that this following news released. That's pretty straightforward. So the court's lying?
I can't tell you, Congressman, but the interpretation
Somebody's lying. Somebody's lying, because you can't say the court ordered you to restart the payments, and then the court says we didn't order you to restart the payments. So either you're lying or the court's lying. And I'm just asking you, which one is it?
I just simply know what the attorneys at the agency believed, that it was a misinterpretation.
Could it be you were trying to hide behind the court, Governor? Could that maybe be the reason why you issued the statements you did and why the court had to do something you never see done before? They issue a press statement saying you're wrong. The governor is wrong. His statement is, their words, not mine, false. Could that be the reason?
That was not the interpretation of the attorneys. And you know, court work, you can appeal those, Congressmen, as you well know. I'm sure
it's all about politics, Governor.
No, it's about taking care of our people, which
yeah,
Minnesota does better
go from
than anyone
3 million,
else.
The behavioral intervention program went from 3 million to 400 million in 5 years. The housing stabilization went from 2.6 million to 104 million. The integrated community supports went from 4.6 million.
All right, obviously, Tim Walz is walking on thin ice these days. It's quite obvious what's going on here, and that there has been a scheme in places, specifically like Minnesota, and they've known about this, and they've tried their very best to hide all of this fraud, but it's quite obvious what's going on here. And it's something that's worth continuously going after. Now, again, too, it's not just Minnesota. Let's keep driving this point home. So many of these blue states decided to use our money to funnel it to illegal aliens and fraudsters, and that's the reality of it. Right now, and I'm still waiting to see, because remember when the DOJ made the announcement that they were going to begin a special division to go after the fraudsters? Well, we don't even know what attorney is going to be leading that division. I haven't heard a name as of yet. But specifically, it's not just Minnesota this is happening in, too. The DOJ is preparing to file a lawsuit, according to the New York Post, in the next coming weeks against Kathy Hochul over in New York. Now, they're alleging that she was overhauling the state's $11 billion Medicaid home care program. The suit is expected to target both Hochul's administration and Public Partners Ships LLC, the company awarded about $1 billion in contract to manage the program. Now, again, the money goes deep. And this is the problem with all of this. When you're giving all of this money out and you're creating these incentives for fraudsters to go out there and commit these crimes, Democrats are jumping on board. And I outlined this prior to even Hochul. This was years ago. when I was covering New York exclusively. You know, Hochul, before she came in, obviously it was Andrew Cuomo who was the governor of New York. There was a very obvious pay-to-play scheme that was going on with both the lobbyists for a lot of the Medicare services who received Medicaid benefits, who received the financial benefits, and New York Democrats. There was a hospital group, I believe it was just the Hospital Association, that made two donations to Democrats in New York. I believe the first one was about $500,000. This is off of top of my head from years ago from reporting it. And then the extra, second one was another $500,000. They donated $1 million to New York Democrats. And as a result of that, they quickly saw their benefits skyrocket. New York Democrats pushed forward legislation that allowed them to collect millions and millions of dollars more from all of these Medicaid and Medicare programs. And this is one of the many layers of the fraud that's going on all across the country. There's a pay-to-play scheme going on here. You need a massive department to look into all of this, to go through it all. Plus, I'd also cut a lot of the trash from all of this spending because we're just doing so many free incentives. There was an interview that we played a while back where there was a couple, they were announcing that there was a couple that they had spoken to. I'm trying to remember who it was. And the couple was being paid hundreds and hundreds of dollars to drive each other. They were divorced, but to drive each other around to get medical treatments. And so, of course, they were taking advantage of the system. I think it was like $600 they were getting paid for each trip. Insane. Insane. But this is why so many people are taking advantage of the system, because there's so many freebies out there for people to grab onto, and there's not enough investigators digging into the fraud. This needs to be a top issue. This needs to be a top issue. You know, Americans are fed up with this. Why are we working? Why do you pay taxes if this is where your money is being shifted over to? Also worth noting, the IRS is still using AI services, by the way, folks, to scan your bank accounts, which is unconstitutional. I don't know why we're not challenging that. I don't know why. But it's one of the many layers in all of this. We would rather go after innocent Americans who maybe don't claim a $601 Venmo transaction than going after these fraudsters who believe, well, who I believe should be in prison by now. Folks, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's the March mega sale, and it's going on right this second. It's not going to last long. Head on over right now. It's 30 to 40% off some of your favorite supplements over at thealexjonesstore.com right now. I'm telling you, you're going to love it. Also, if you want to extend those discounts, you got to subscribe. It's the best way to do so. When you subscribe, you get 50% off when you sign up. And those savings extend long-term as well. I am a subscriber for those energy shots that I cannot shut up about. They are the caffeine boost that everyone needs right now. Every morning, start it off right. Go over right now, thealexjonesstore.com, and indulge in this March mega sale. Your favorite items on sale right now, 30 to 40% off. And those energy shots, you got to grab them, I'm telling you. I got to hear my update, too. I gave one to Tommy Robinson. I don't know if he ever took the shot yet. I'll get back to you on that front, though. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com.
Has InfoWars not delivered? In Gladiator, he chops up the first four guys when they throw him in the ring, or you know, in the arena, and he says, "Are you not entertained?
Are you not entertained?"
Well, I would say to you, are you not satisfied? Have we not delivered in the fight against the globalists? You bet on the right horse, and I'm asking you to continue to bet on us as the info war continues on, regardless, as we refuse to submit to the tyrants. But the reason this is such a win-win or a non-zero-sum game or a 360 win, the term I coined over a decade ago, is because everybody participating supports freedom, supports the fight against tyrants, the fight for Team Humanity against the globalists, and you get incredible products at the same time. So if you haven't tried Ultramethylene Blue or our Bovine Colostrum or our CMOS or our Shilajit, these are all incredible products available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the site, you can become a VIP for $30 a month, cancel any time for free, and instantly $40 is put in your account. The second you click in a VIP, when it reoccurs each month, instantly $40 goes in. So you make $10 to spend on top of the $30 you spend. Special deals, special offers, and with one click of your profile, you cancel anytime for free. So it's a very light commitment, and you get special deals on top of everything else. So anybody buying anything on thealexjonesstore.com should be a VIP, so make sure you do that. You have until the 17th of March to take advantage of the March mega sale at thealexjonesstore.com. This is one of the biggest sales of the year yet, up to 40% off store-wide. 25% off on the shirts, on the hats, 10% off on things like the collectible knives, and up to 40% off on supplements like Ultramethylene Blue. And the more you buy, the more you save. So take advantage of the March Mega Sale right now, running until the 17th at theultrastore.com, and be the reason we'll always stay on the air. Again, I salute you and thank you. Take action now.
I'm gonna go get some more.